This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Fine dining. The search for the most mediocre restaurant in America is a podcast where Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. His most recent episode featured guests Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's food court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Head on over to linktree.com/finedining podcast and click Bees giveaway to enter for an all-expense-paid trip to your local Applebee's. The current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. Asterisk $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee's gift card.
Welcome to a Funny Feeling Podcast. I'm Betsy Sodaro.
And I'm Marcy Jarrow. This is a podcast where comedians tell us their paranormal experiences, and we listen to yours as well.
Oh, yeah. And if you have one of these paranormal experiences that you want to share with us, please email it to us at funnyfeelingpod@gmail.com.
Now get cozy.
And prepare yourself to be scared silly.
This is a Funny Feeling Podcast.
Marcy.
Betsky.
I got a big old classic one for you.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Okay. And I'm going to talk about Alcatraz.
Ooh, Alcatraz.
You know, the big old prison on an island outside of San Francisco.
We know, I've seen
also
it with
known
my...
as The Rock. You maybe have seen that movie, The Rock.
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
It was a federal prison from 1934 to 1963, and it has some of the big bad guys: Al Capone,
the biggest baddest,
Machine Gun Kelly, Alvin Carpus,
Simon Theodore,
those girl chipmunks,
the Squeakles.
Oh, the Squeakles, chipwrecked. Anyways, it's very, very haunted.
Tell me about
it. I'll tell you about it.
I bet it is.
Both guards and prisoners, while it was a federal prison, experienced a ton of unexplained spooky stuff.
Ooh.
Because before it was a federal prison, it was a military prison during the Civil War. And then before that, the island belonged to, like, Native Americans.
Right.
You know?
Do you know, I didn't realize that we had California during the Civil War? My timeline of America's off.
When did we get California?
I don't know. 1849?
49ers?
I don't know anything. I'm so dumb.
Okay. So here's some of the spooky stuff. A lot of prisoners would hear weird whispering sounds in the middle of the night. They would hear moaning, clanking of chains and cells that they knew no one was... What?
Hop, stop, stop,
oh,
stop.
I thought you were telling me to stop. I was like, what are we doing?
Stop, stop, stop.
Yeah, clanking of chains. Also, multiple prisoners saw floating blue lights and figures. Spooky, right?
Ooh. And
right?
It wasn't just people in San Francisco having the best damn time.
Having a ball? No, it was not. apparently, one of the prisoners in D Block, which I'll talk about later because it's very haunted. D Block's apparently the most haunted. Reported seeing glowing red eyes in the dark, and he was like screaming terrified for hours.
Jeez.
Cut to the next morning, he was found dead in his cell. Like a bloated purple face and his eyes bulging, and then mysterious like strangle marks on his neck.
Oh,
isn't that scary?
Gosh.
And for a while, the guards at first didn't believe the inmates, but then some freaky shit started happening to them. It started with like cold spots, feeling fingers on the back of their necks,
no.
And then turning around and nobody's
gross.
There. Hearing crying in the night. And they heard both dudes crying, but then they would also hear like a woman sobbing in the middle of the night, and they're like, that's weird because
no woman has ever
no
been
woman
here.
Around here.
Trust me, if there was a woman ghost around here, I'd make her my missus.
Oh my. They would also see a dude with mutton chops.
Oh, hot.
Hell yeah. Wearing a gray suit and a like kind of bowler cap esque type of hat, just cruising around the warden's house, and he would leave it cold as hell.
As hell.
Both guards and inmates saw a bunch of dudes wearing like 19th century military outfits wandering around throughout the prison often, and they would disappear whenever anybody approached them. You know, like once somebody got close. One time a guard saw a group of Native Americans marching around in a circle, and then, boom, they just vanished into thin air.
Yeah, in the 70s, didn't Native Americans try to reclaim Alcatraz?
I think so.
Yeah, I think
so. Like, wasn't it like the Alcatraz occupation or something?
Yes,
like
it was
that?
Like a very small group of people that like tried to like, they were like, this is ours.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I know. I don't know.
I don't know much about it either. But
okay. Also, people would hear like gunfire and cannon blasts.
Ooh.
Fire alarms would go off randomly. Stuff like that. And then the classic of just both prisoners and guards always having that feeling that someone or something is that with them
icky,
and watching them.
Icky bad feeling that yeah, somebody's
like,
here.
Isn't, yeah, I fortunately don't think I've ever really felt that.
Oh, you're gonna.
No, I'm feeling it now.
You're gonna, Bicky. Bicky,
okay,
you're gonna.
So now the prison's closed.
Yeah, because it seemed like a pretty bad one.
Well, it was, wasn't it? It was just... The idea of it at first sounded great, but then
it was inescapable.
Technically, it was, and like plumbing had issues. Like it had a lot of issues because it is like, yeah,
and
you're
it was
on
like,
an island.
Yeah,
it was a pretty big mistake. So now that it's closed and now it's open to tours and tourists,
mm-hmm.
and rangers who work there often hear those clanging sounds, screaming and crying.
You know, just your typical,
you know, typical spooky stuff, footsteps, moaning, and you know, when they know for sure, like I'm the only one in this cell block or whatever, and C block is supposedly haunted by an inmate whose nickname was Butcher.
Huh, I guess because he liked
scary.
To feed the neighborhood.
And this inmate was murdered in the laundry room in C block.
Uh-oh.
And so one night a ranger slept over in C block. Every time I say C block, drink C block. And was startled awake by a cell door slamming. And you know, they're heavy, heavy doors. And the ranger had no clue as to how or why this door would just slam all of a sudden. And then for the next few nights, that continued happening of like these doors just slamming and opening on their own and stuff.
Scary.
Spooky. Now back to D block, the most haunted area. Lots of voices have been heard throughout the cells in D block. And there's one cell in particular that's very scary and very haunted. It's called 14D, which is, which was a cell that like was used for punishment and they called it the hole. This cell apparently is always permanently icy cold, even in the summer and stuff. It's always 20 to 30 degrees cooler
Ooh.
Than anywhere else in the prison.
That sucks.
Isn't that creepy? Also in D Block, banjo sounds have been heard coming from the shower room where our man Al Capone would practice playing his banjo.
That sounds fun.
Isn't that crazy? Also in this shower room, people feel cold spots and fingers touching the back of their neck and nothing's there behind them.
No.
Once again, in D Block, rangers have heard whispering sounds. So I wonder if it's like the same ones that prisoners were like,
stop
recording. Stop saying what you need to do because I made something happen. Doors opening and closing by themselves and a harmonica playing. Wee woo wee.
Blues Traveler.
Blues Traveler.
That's Dave Matthews.
Oh, shit. I was trying to think. I immediately thought that was a Blues Traveler. What's the big one?
Both were big harmonica
bands.
What's
the big one? That a Blues Traveler song.
Oh, boy.
We gotta.
Betsy knows it now.
In a run around. No, you know it. Running around and pick things up to today. You know it.
Boy, you're so good at that.
I'm so very good. Musically talented. My voice was made to sing.
Pick you know, things up.
You know the song. Oh, fuck, man. You know it. Run around. Play it for me, please. I feel like I'm going crazy. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Running around.
Anyway, keep going. Keep going.
Okay, we're recording.
Yeah, we've been recording
this whole time. Oh, shit. Been running around. You gotta play it for me.
I will.
Okay. Machine Gun Kelly has been sighted in the prison's church. This Alvin, a.k.a. Creepy Carpus, I don't know how you say his name. His spirit apparently hangs around in the prison bakery and kitchen.
Ooh. Fun. Get yourself a snack.
some tourists have heard sounds of canaries coming from
the Birdman of Alcatraz.
The cell of the Birdman of Alcatraz. And they've also seen him reading a book in that cell. There's also a ton more, but those were kind of the greatest hits.
That's
just like Blues Travelers. Ran around to pick things up.
This is the video. Let's go.
You know it. Here we go.
How long before I have to pay for this?
Already we have to pay.
Oh,
once upon a midnight theory,
I woke with something in
my
head.
Yeah, that's the song I was
singing. I couldn't escape the memory and the phone call.
You know it better than I do. Why
did
you sing it?
I couldn't remember it.
God.
Like a thing so interesting with a parting gift. I cannot believe my eyes. And the trusted friend
who
humor me and tell me lies. Yeah, humor me and tell me lies.
Is there a part where they say, coffee me up
and put I it, when you say every time you start I forget it every time
run
you
run around. So that's Alcatraz. I got all my info from Wikipedia.
That was really good.
There's
Betsy.
So much more, but those were just some fun spooky things that happened.
I also really love the Blues Traveler sidetrack.
I mean, God. We figured it out.
It was a real fucking journey.
It was such a journey.
That was really good, Bets.
Thank you.
Should people maybe if you wanna just send,
if you just wanna, you know, maybe rate and review and subscribe
tell
and tell your friends. And if you have a spooky story, send it to us at funnyfeelingpod@gmail.com.
Oh, you did it all yourself.
I did it all myself.
Thanks, Betsy.
Of course. Yes. Yes.
Betsy. Yes.
Marcy.
I am so excited.
Me too.
About our next guest.
He oh, is shit.
In demand. He's a man in demand.
Man in demand.
From the UCB Theater.
Hell yeah. UCB and, Drag Race.
Oh.
Harold Knight. All the shit, right?
All the shit. And from two other podcasts. Oscar Montoya.
Yay.
Hi.
Oh my gosh. This is the, I just got goosebumps.
Oh shit.
I'm so excited to be here.
Is it because this house is totally haunted that we're recording?
Can you feel
in?
Anything in
I'm,
it?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm feeling anything. I'm not feeling anything right now.
Okay.
But what's the history with this house?
I mean, I am technically house sitting for someone else who is sort of house sitting. It's like a, it's like two steps away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I will say that since I've been here, like a lot of lights have burned out.
Oh, I was here when one burned out.
Wait, yes. You've had experiences here?
And no, just that. And then I went home and like also like I was like taking care of my roommate's cat and then more lights burned out. And I was like,
at
what
home?
Is it with me and lights burning out? Could just be bad luck.
Marcy, what if you like
what
you're
if
haunted?
I'm a ghost?
What if you're like you're haunted?
Oh what if I'm a ghost?
God.
Like straight up insidious.
Oh
you
my
know?
God.
It's not the house that's haunted.
So far.
It's your son.
God, the first half of that first one was so good.
Yeah,
and then
and
it
the,
went.
The weird, like, oh yeah.
That
stupid.
Shit. Crazy, I
so
hated
stupid.
It, but I've seen
the
all of them
great.
In
yes,
the theater.
Exactly.
That's also going to be like my life. Like the first half is great, and then it's going to
and then it goes
really
crazy.
Go crazy. Yeah.
Oscar, what are your podcasts?
Just tell
oh,
us about
I host
them.
Two podcasts. The first one is called Inside the Disney Vault.
Yes.
Which. Marcy's been on.
Yes.
And Betsy, we got to have you
I
on.
I know, we got it.
And it's a podcast where I watch every single Disney animated movie in chronological oh. order and talk about it. And it's me, oh. Rachel Chapman, and Claire Logren. And yeah, we actually finished all of them. So we're done with the first season. And
oh
so
my
we're
going
to do the second season, and it's going to be Pixar movies.
Oh,
so yeah,
awesome.
That'll be the next step of that.
Now, did you even do things like the Song of the South and that kind
yes,
of stuff? So like
we did.
Even the deep, yeah,
the
Disney
deep,
cut.
Yes.
How did
and
you find them?
So we were able to get like an illegal copy
oh,
of Song
okay.
of the South. But Song of the South is banned in America.
Yeah.
But it's not banned internationally, which is to me very interesting. Right?
Yeah.
Because in other countries, it's not really a racist movie because slavery or this, you know, the slavery that we know and love
yes.
is an American institution.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's why it's
that
been in the U.S.
That makes sense, though. Like,
whoa.
This is like, we're distancing ourselves from
absolutely.
This.
Exactly. Yeah. But the crazy thing is, well, we talked about it in the episode, was that. Walt Disney made the movie and gave a copy to the NAACP and was like, hey, is this offensive? And they were like, yes. And he was like, okay, I'm still releasing it anyway.
He's like, perfect.
So he knew.
Oh, man.
He knew what was going on.
Wow.
Disney, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
whoa.
Crazy. And that's crazy to me.
Jeez,
that is
that's
really crazy.
Awful. After they were like, you are, this is. Problematic.
This is so bad.
He was
Walt
like,
Disney.
I already made it.
He was ugh. Like, I wish you guys would have told me sooner. Like, we just saw it.
We just
yeah.
saw it. He just
what's
gave
your
it to
other
us.
One?
Oh, the other one's called This Is What Democracy Pod's Like,
okay.
and it's on the Forever Dog Network.
Ooh.
And it's essentially a parody of Pod Save America. And
great.
It's me, Kate Friedman, and Billy Domino. And it's just like a whole bunch of hyper liberals talk about politics.
Great.
So
great.
It's very fun.
Okay.
That's fun.
Ooh, yeah. That's yeah. very fun.
I've just binge listened another, and I'll give a shout out. I binge listened another Forever Dog podcast, Beyond with Mike Kelton.
Yes.
It's a great podcast. I love Mike so much.
It is so good. If you guys, I mean, for like checking out other podcasts, you guys, Mike is starting, he just started.
Mm-hmm.
There's only like five episodes, and it's about sort of like the beyond, like the great beyond.
Awesome.
Yeah. So he talks to like mediums, past life regressionists.
Awesome.
It's so, and Mike is so fun.
Oh, Mike is hilarious.
I love him so much.
But it's a good partner podcast with y'all's.
Because it's a different.
I think it's sister podcast.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
It's definitely a different flavor.
Yes.
But it's a complimentary one.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because it's one, it's so well edited. Not to gush about Mike. I told him he's got to come on too.
He would be great.
It's so well edited. It's basically like Serial, but for
shit.
He does a really good job. But also, I was saying it because the Forever Dog bumper sound is crazy. It's like
dog.
It's like
It's wild. It's wild.
Oh, no shade shit. From HeadGum. Because we got our classy as fuck. This has been a HeadGum podcast.
I'm Nanny McPhee.
I married Yolanda's ex. No, that's Catherine McPhee. Different McPhees.
Nanny McPhee is Catherine McPhee's mom.
So we always start by asking what, if anything, do you believe about the paranormal?
I believe it all.
Yeah.
It's real, guys.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
It's real.
End of podcast.
I love it so much. Goodbye. That's it.
That's it. The end.
Yeah, you believe it all.
100%.
Have you gone to like psychics and stuff? Anything like that?
Of course he has. Look at him.
Come on, look at me. I scream psychic bait.
Also, you are wearing the most beautiful outfit. It's
thank you.
It's like a velour short set with a matching sweater.
It's cute.
It's cute. Very cute.
I look like a Blatino Tennessee Williams.
Blatino Tennessee Williams. Yeah.
That's so funny.
But you're visiting the bunny... The Playboy mansion.
Oh, yeah, Playboy. Yeah, in a classy way, right? Yeah. And I'm getting ready for bed, too. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. It's a narrative.
Now, did you always believe in everything?
Well, I grew up in... I'm from Colombia. I'm from South America. Mm-hmm. And I grew, my grandmother raised me. And my grandmother was very in tune to the spiritual world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember, my earliest memories was my grandma saying, like, because her husband died, my grandfather died before I even knew who he was.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and she would say, like, I feel his presence here. He's standing right there. Oh. Like, she would literally be like, oh, he's here. He's holding my hand right
That's
now. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So for me, I was never scared of the paranormal or to me, it just came from a place of, and I think also just like Americans have a weird relationship with ghosts, I think, or like just the paranormal. Whereas I think in South American countries, we have a much more, I don't want to say tolerant behavior towards ghosts, but it's definitely not like, we ain't scared of them.
Is it like, like we want to build a wall so the ghost can't get in?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. I wonder. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not going to make any
comparison. There's no correlation there.
I can't figure
at all.
It out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it is fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
Instead of like acceptance of it.
And I think also we are.
And like if it's unknown, it's like bad, right?
Yeah. Or like if demon-y. We don't understand it, it's bad, right?
Yeah.
Americans need concrete proof.
Yes.
And if it doesn't make sense to them, it doesn't
then
exist.
It's bad.
Yeah. Or it's bad. Yeah. Or, yeah. Exactly.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is so interesting.
So yeah, for me, I don't know.
But like, all the big cities in Colombia have houses really close together, right?
Yeah, it's
so
a very,
it'd be
like,
hard to move down there right now. That's all I know about Colombia is when I see the cities, I'm like, those houses are close.
You can say the same thing about some places here.
Yes, right? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. New York absolutely.
Houses too close.
That's way too close.
Way
that's
too
why
close.
I live in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything's far apart.
Everything's so far away.
Our neighbors are 16 miles away.
God, it's hard getting a cup of sugar.
Yeah, especially when you walk
when
there.
When you're walking, it takes 2 days.
16 miles takes you 2 days.
How long would it take you, Marcy?
16 miles would take me, I think, under 2 hours. No, hold on.
Walking?
Walking.
It would take me 4 hours.
Walking?
Yes.
It would take me...
No, it wouldn't. It would take
you
longer.
You can walk a mile in 15 minutes.
Okay.
I mean, I've never done
so
that.
So 4 miles an hour.
I'm a slow-ass walker, though.
Yeah, I cruise.
So
yeah.
16...
I'm a meander.
16 times...
You can rock. Okay.
Yeah, I think...
I salute that.
I'm not Let's stopping. Try. I'm only going.
You're
going.
Not stopping.
No, you're not stopping.
No,
I only say this because once on like New Year's Day in New York City, I was like pretty drunk the night before. I woke up, we're like, let's go for a stroll. And me and my friend walked from the Upper West Side to Brooklyn in like 2 or 3 hours.
Okay.
What?
But that's only like 9 miles, so it's not 16.
Yeah, but that's, I'm impressed. I mean, as a New Yorker, I'm like, okay.
We just kept walking.
That's impressive.
From like, from like Lincoln Center to Brooklyn.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, that's fast. You're a fast
Doesn't
walker,
it
Marcy.
Doesn't take people that long
New York's
to
fast
run?
Walking.
Yeah, that's very true.
16 miles.
What happened?
Doesn't it take people 4 hours to run 16
miles? A
16 miles?
Mile. I can tell
guys,
you. I don't
we,
walk, I don't run,
away.
I don't do anything.
When
that
we
stuff.
Start doing math,
I mean, I don't
when
know.
When this podcast does math, it goes off
we
the rails.
We do not do math well. We were just recording.
I should like
stuff.
Make a marker to
okay.
delete that.
Anyways, great.
What about aliens?
Getting sugars hard.
Oh, aliens.
Yeah.
Do I believe in aliens? Yes, I do believe. When I think aliens, I think of like little green men
with
big ass heads. That I don't know if I believe. They gotta have big ass heads.
Yeah, man.
You know, but I do believe in life outside of our planet. Like, there's,
right.
no,
there's
way,
no way.
Right? I mean, you guys believe that too,
I'm
right?
I'm right there with you. There's no way.
I mean,
where does the line draw for you, Marcy?
People are trying to tell me that on my skin alone. There are millions and millions of microorganisms, billions
who's,
of micro.
Who's telling you that?
Like Lysol.
Lysol, oh yeah.
Specifically Lysol.
They're
marketing.
Always like telling me about all the germs and stuff that live on me. If that's possible, then of course I believe that there's life out our planet.
But also us, like if we're possible,
yes,
then that's had to have happened.
Right.
Anywhere else.
Yeah.
What kind of crazy person would believe that in the entire universe there's not another living thing?
That's weird.
That's
weird to me.
Crazy.
Especially like, I mean, there's like tons of undiscovered species living in the bottom of the dang ocean.
Oh, that ocean.
Like, you think there's no life outside of,
I mean, you
this
ever
planet?
See what washes up after a tsunami? Nasty fish that look like James Gandolfini. R.I.P.
Or Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti.
The gamut.
Yeah.
You know?
So did you grow up Catholic by
I
any
did,
chance?
I did, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
we
a
did
big
too.
Thing.
Yeah. That's a big thing.
I'm doing a study and it's
oh, really?
Me just asking people on this podcast if they grew up Catholic. And I will
what's
say-
What's been your, what's been the findings?
Most people
a lot of
are Catholic. We're taught early to believe in a ghost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit, man.
So I just think we're open to it. If like the idea of the paranormal is very like prevalent in our religion. Mm-hmm. So like-
Did y'all go all the way
all
with your
the way. Yeah, I
confirmation?
No, I did not.
I got confirmed.
Okay.
Did
I did
you?
Not. I did not
I did
get
not.
Confirmed.
No.
I didn't
you
make
dropped
it.
Out?
I dropped out.
Do, are you...
Flunked out.
like, do you... Are demons involved in your world
I
of
don't
believing?
Think... No, okay. Not demons. Not like spirits that are causing us harm. I don't believe in that.
Okay.
Angels...
That's a tougher sell for me, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't not believe in angels.
Yeah.
However, that concept to me is a little more nebulous than like aliens, ghosts, spirits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
I've heard someone else refer them, and maybe just The Dead Files, because I was watching that last night.
I love The Dead Files.
It's very wild. I don't know if you've seen The Dead Files.
I have not.
Okay, well, the premise is there's a psychic teamed up with a retired New York City detective.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. He like goes into the house to be like, it's probably the pipes. We're going to figure out the plumbing.
But then he does like historic research too to see like what is going on. And then It's not a scripted show.
Oh my God.
And then she walks in and starts being like, someone's touching my hand.
Yeah, she's wild. Of the two. But great.
Of the two though, he seems like, even though you're like, oh God, this Brooklyn, New York, but he's so great.
Yeah.
And she seems like she's so intense and always making so many faces. It's so funny.
The perfect odd couple.
They're the perfect.
And they get along with each other? Because that's my big concern.
Yeah. Sometimes it feels like he's like, oh boy, here we go.
Here we go again.
But he's like, you heard her, you gotta move. And they make people move out of their homes all the time.
Are you serious?
That's the thing I don't like about the shows. They're like, sorry. You gotta move.
You gotta move.
Or you're gonna die.
Okay, that's a bit much.
Yeah, that's why I think she's a little cuckoo-doo-doo-doo. I forget where I was going with it.
Do you guys believe in poltergeists?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had, for the longest time, I thought they were just like... I didn't understand what poltergeist were. I still am very confused.
Well, just that it's like all the hormonal energy going on, like this kid's like going through all these changes and it just kind of manifests itself into like Carrie is like the ultimate poltergeist, right?
Yeah, it's essentially an entity that causes like, it's a bad ghost, essentially. Yeah. It's a poltergeist.
I always think of it as not a ghost at all. It's just a manifestation of emotions.
It's from, like a,
but from a child or a teen.
From a child. Yeah. I didn't know the child
from like
aspect
a,
of
an,
it.
A living person. Oh. That like, that's
see,
my,
I had no
see,
clue.
I didn't know that.
I thought it was like a fucking ghost where it's like, I'm going to knock your paintings off
your
wall.
It's a ghost with sunglasses and smoking a cigarette.
It's an emoji ghost. No, I always heard it that it was like, like when teens are going through adolescence, like all their like hormones basically manifest into like weird shit happening around
them.
Like things slamming and like.
So it's like Firestarter.
Yeah.
Carrie.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's sort of my understanding of a poltergeist. Yeah. But I used to believe that it was like a malevolent
spirit. Yeah. Okay.
But I think it's less. But also, I know what I was saying. Was that like, I believe in, and they're called elementals. That like these non-humanoid spirits. So like a ghost was a human at one point, but that there are these other beings that are not... never been human.
So demons.
It's good. Anything
or
though.
Angels or aliens.
Also, like idea of
actually,
like,
I don't know. I'm just feeling this stuff.
But exactly. But also, like our idea is so like black and white of like what is good or bad. And like people are not 100% one way or the other. So like, why would these other spirits or beings be that? And I also believe in like the great like balance of like. Duality and balance. That like, for if there is a white, there is a black. If there, you know, there is like a great opposite for everything, right?
Right.
The north and south pole of it all.
There's a cat. There is a dog.
If there's a mouse, there's a house.
Yeah, we just rhyme stuff, right?
That's how the world works.
This is your book. This is your children's book.
If there's a mouse, you know there's a house.
Pushing that book on us, dude. We'll buy it.
We'll buy it, fine.
God. Where there's a mouse, there's a house.
It's 2 pages long.
It's a lot of writing, though. It's like
too much writing.
It's so no pictures. It's not a good children's book.
And like hard to read, right?
Very hard to read.
Should we take a quick break and then we'll jump into maybe some of your own personal stories?
Oh,
yes.
Did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they have forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about, I don't know, like 5 different subscriptions. I could not believe when they showed me how many I was paying for each month. And they tell me when something's coming up, too. What a shocker. Between streaming services, fitness apps, and delivery services, it's never ending. And thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I've forgotten about. And, you know, I've been trying to save money. And it seems like my bank account, it was stuck. So I gave Rocket Money a try, and it turns out that I was paying for a bunch of stuff that I didn't need. And Rocket Money helped me cancel some of those, and now I'm finally starting to see my account balance going up again. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of expenses. I can see all my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. That's rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years now. I go every single week. I don't even ever want to miss a week because it's so important for keeping me on track, especially during times where things are kind of tough, you know? It's really good to have a therapist you trust as a sounding board. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/afunnyfeeling today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, help.com/afunnyfeeling.
And we're back, Betsy. Yes. Peed.
Guys, I peed during that break.
It was great.
It was awesome. Oscar and Marcy watched.
It was very, honestly, that was
pretty wild,
proud,
right?
We're very proud of Betsy.
I got into the toilet.
You did.
I got into the toilet this time.
And you didn't even cry.
I did not. I held it together.
Okay. So let's get to the goods, Oscar.
Oh yeah.
I'm
oh
so
my
pumped.
God.
Tell us.
There's a lot.
There's great. A lot. Dig in.
There's a lot.
Go nuts.
Betsy, what time do you need to leave? You got you know
it's
when
fine.
Okay, great.
There's a lot.
I'm so excited.
So I think the craziest thing that has happened in my life is since I was 5 years old, I've had a recurring dream.
Okay.
Nightmare, where I fall off a cliff, and while I'm falling down, and it's a very like painful dream. Like,
oh.
I feel the bones snapping,
oh,
and I feel my
shit.
Organs being punctured. Like, it's a serious dream, and it's like, it's not like a smooth drop. It's like very much like how you remember this
like
the Simpsons
cartoon.
Episode where Homer falls down.
He's in the gurney.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
it's very
not
much
like,
that.
It's not like I'm falling and then I wake up.
No, it's not one of those like, it's like
you
I fall down.
Fall.
And in my dream, I specifically remember thinking that I never made it to my 29th birthday. But that was like something that I never did. I was in my dream being like, I almost made it to 29. Since I was five
since
years
you
old.
Were five.
Since I was five. So that happened so often in my life that I sort of came to terms with the fact that I was, in fact, going to die before I turned 29, you know?
Oh,
wow.
And like as a child, I was sort of
and
just
that's
like,
next
that's
next week, right?
Yeah. That's in 10 years.
And you're going cliff hanging?
Yeah.
Honestly, we're kind of spoiling the story because keep going.
So, I like grew up living my life being like 28 is as far as I'm going to go. And that's okay.
Oh my God.
But then as when I got closer and closer to that age, I was sort of panicking and being like, what does this mean? Like, it must be a metaphorical thing, or like, I don't know, like, you know, or it's just a dream, like dreams don't matter, or it's like a symbolic a change in my life or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so when I was 24 years old, I was walking in Queens, in Woodside, which is where I'm from, and a woman stops me. And this is like a busy, it's a busy street. There's like tons of people. And she looks like very frazzled. She's like a very thin, I want to say Middle Eastern woman. And she like stops, she like forcibly like stops me. And I'm like, it's New York. You don't do that. You know what I mean? You do not do that. Mm-mm. And she's like, I'm so sorry. She's like, I'm not crazy. Which is like,
That's how the crazy ones start. You know? That's their opening line.
Yeah. And she was like, I'm not crazy, but something is compelling me to read your palm right now.
Oh, shit.
And my first instinct as, you know, like a skeptic, a cynical New Yorker, I'm like, this is a scam.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Where's the psychic, like, store? Like, this feels very
There's
scammy.
There's a kid coming up behind me
a pickpocket me or something, you know? So I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm busy. I have somewhere else to be. And she's like, you don't understand. Like, there's something about you that I have to tell you.
Oh,
and I was like,
God.
Okay. I was like, fine. Okay. So I give her my palm. And I'm you know, before this, I'm just like not really, I never went to a psychic. I never really believed in that stuff. Like, and the first thing she tells me, she's like, I don't know why you think you're going to die at an early age, but you won't.
I just got chills.
And I'm like, she clocked me right away. And then I was like, I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm
you know what you're talking because about.
Because that's crazy.
I just got fucking chills.
But you were skateboarding in the middle of the street while doing heroin, right? You were doing a lot
and juggling chainsaws. Yes. Yeah, yeah. I was like really shocked because that was at a time where I was contemplating like the severity of this dream that I had, and then was like, is this really?
Yeah.
What's gonna happen to me? And she was like, it's not going to happen. And I was sold. And then she continued to read my palm. A lot of it was nonsense. She said that I was going to work in hair, which I mean, I don't know.
Maybe she meant you're going to work your hair.
Yeah, I guess. I had a big ass fro.
You are
at the
working
time,
your
so
hair.
I guess so.
There you go. You know. Okay.
She also said that.
Well, maybe you're going to be in Hair.
The musical
the
Hair?
Musical
like maybe
hair.
They'll make another movie. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
I'd faint. I mean, that would be too much.
Okay.
She also said that I was dating someone that was not right for me, which I was like, okay, whatever. We're going to live forever. I mean, we broke up soon afterward. this person was not right for me in any way. But she also said, she's like, you're going to meet the man of your dreams is going to be someone that you're going to meet at a party that you won't know before. And a friend, a good friend is going to introduce the two of you together.
Okay.
And his name will start with the letter J. I'm waiting. I'm still waiting for that moment.
You haven't met Jay-Z yet.
Jay-Z at a party.
I haven't met Jason Mraz yet. Or Jay-Z. Anyway, whatever. It was done. It was over. I sort of forgot about that moment, but it was a very, like, it was insane moment. After that, I felt pretty good. I was like, okay, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That's going to be great. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy. So then, that was at a weird point in my life too, because before that I was dancing. I was very much on the track to dance, and like my goal was to work at Paul Taylor, and like that was it. That was gonna be my life. Unfortunately, I had a very bad dance accident that like prevented me from dancing professionally.
Aww.
So I was at a weird point in my life where I didn't know what I was doing. I worked at Scholastic Books.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to work in publishing, I thought at the time. And that didn't really pan out. Then I started working in like street style and styling, and like I was sort of doing that, and I was like, I guess this is what I'm doing, but I didn't feel very great about that. And this is when I was starting to do like improv comedy.
Yep.
And it sort of was slowly taking over my life, and like at 28 I was like, this is it. Okay, I've decided that this is it. This is what I'm gonna go all in on this, right?
Yes.
And I was very lucky that at the time I was able to get an agent, a commercial agent, like right away. I was like very lucky. Like as soon as I started performing regularly. I was able to find
that guy that scoops everyone up.
We all know who that one person is.
He made a lot of money for himself and hopefully you.
So I booked the second thing I ever booked. The first thing I ever booked was a Trojan condoms commercial, which I don't think aired at all because it was.
You look like a raw dog. And
sorry, he looks too much like a raw dog.
I know, in the commercial, I had to like give an excuse why I didn't want to put a condom on. I had to make out with a girl in the back of a convertible, and it was very uncomfortable. I also had to like my tongue, not my tongue, my wisdom teeth removed, like. A day before I shot this commercial. So I was like, I could bleed all over this girl.
Oh,
luckily I didn't. But I did tell her, I was like, listen, I just had my wisdom teeth pulled. And she was immediately like, that's fine. I don't care.
Oh, great.
She was like, I'm going to live forever. I don't have a death dream.
Meryl Streep.
And her name was Julia Stiles. Anyway, so the second thing that I booked, I went out for a Verizon spot, a Verizon commercial. Yeah. And in the commercial, they were like, are you comfortable? Do you have any experience bungee jumping? Like, we need people who can bungee jump. And I was like,
and you're 28?
The one thing that I learned or I was told was that you had to say yes to everything, right?
Yeah.
You don't know how to ride a horse, you say yes, and then you'll learn how to ride a horse when you book it. Right. So I said yes. I was like, okay. Even though I have a crippling fear of heights, like it's I have a bad fear of heights. But I was like, chances are I won't book this. I'll say yes to it. And I got a call back. And I was like, uh-oh.
Oh, God.
And then I still went and I ended up booking this damn commercial.
Oh, boy.
So I was like, okay. Never didn't think anything of it. I was just like, oh, I guess I have to bungee jump. Oh, God. And the spot was shot in New Jersey at a national park in New Jersey.
The Garden State.
The Garden State.
The Garden State, that movie.
Yeah.
Zach Braff.
The movie, The Garden State. So I was on set. And then I realized... on set, because I didn't even think about this, that my birthday is on April 12th. The date was, and I have picture proof.
I'm getting so
let me see. Oh, sorry about this.
No, no.
Let me just try to find this picture.
Betsy, should we do more math?
Yeah.
Here, 12, here, let's do some more
12
math.
Times 3.
12 times 3, 36.
Yes.
Yeah, that one I got.
I was like, okay, no.
No, you fucking idiot.
So, okay, the date was April 9th.
Oh, and your birthday's April 12th.
April 12th. Okay. So, yeah, this is like where I had to jump off.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
This cliff. So I was like, I'm going to die. I'm dying today. This is exactly what my dream was telling me, or what, I don't know how dreams work, but it was quite literal. Yeah.
You're like, for some reason in my dream when I was 5, they kept talking about Verizon Wireless and a family plan.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh God, okay, well now,
I kept
okay, this
getting
is
a, emails that I was on hold. Yeah.
So I was like, okay, this is it. This is the moment. My something is telling me, this is where you fall, you die. So do I follow that?
Yeah.
Or do I push it aside and it's like, it's just a dream. There's,
oh my God, I feel I would have followed. I would have been like, this is it. I'm done.
What would you have done? What would you guys have done?
I would have had such a panic attack. They wouldn't have let me jump, probably.
Absolutely. I think
I probably would
have. Now, mind
you,
they were under
that you're down for.
That I was a... like I did this all the fucking time.
Honestly, I know I'd let them push me off a cliff and die. I know I would. And I don't like to disappoint people.
Well, that's exactly what I did too. I was like, it won't happen. I can't cause a scene here.
Yeah.
So they were putting the rigging system on me, and the guy was telling me like what to do, and I was not paying attention because the whole time I was like, doesn't matter. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm okay with it.
Also, it's like bungee jumping. What do you do? You bounce.
But there's a way to hold it, apparently, that like you could seriously hurt yourself if you like because you can like
break a wrist if you ragdoll yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a thing. It's a thing. Yeah. It's harder than I guess it seems. I asked the PA to take a picture, and that's the picture that I showed you guys.
Wow.
Oh my God.
And I was truly trying to smile in this picture. I mean, it looks ghastly as
fuck.
I mean, it was me being like, I'm happy. So they're like setting up the shot, and all of a sudden all these cop cars show up, right? And a cop shows up, and I'm like walking over there, be like, what's going on? And I could hear I can catch the tail end of that conversation. And I could hear the cops being like, you need a permit for this. You need a permit. And then one of the ADs being like, well, we have a permit, and showed him all the paperwork, and the cop is looking at it, and he's like, no. Do you have a bungee jumping permit for this? And he was like, no, we have a permit for the location. We could do whatever we want. And then the cops were like, okay, we'll be right back. Don't do anything. And so the cops left, and people were like getting upset and, you know, whatever, blah, blah,
like,
blah.
We're wasting daylight.
We're wasting daylight here. And then they came back and the cops go up to the AD, and he was like, you need to shut this down. Right away.
My God.
And the guy's like, I don't understand what happened. What's going on? And he's like, the length of the bungee cord is longer than how tall the cliff is. So if I jumped, I would have died because the bungee cord was too long. And no one bothered. This is, again, a Verizon spot, right? No one bothered to check the length of the cord. No one bothered to check the height of the cliff.
What
right?
the
so
fuck?
They shut it down. They shut down the entire thing. It didn't get shot.
Man,
nothing happened.
That producer
right?
got fired so
I mean,
fucking bad.
Yeah. So I was spared.
Oh.
And after that day, I never had that dream again.
Also, like, never. I have chills so bad. I have chills so bad.
I am
also
speechless.
Because, like, I love cops, but cops are not skimming through paperwork.
No.
You know what I mean? Like cops are not being like, let me read line by line to make sure.
Yeah.
Like, that's not their job.
I mean,
to,
yeah.
Truly.
It was truly a serendipitous moment of, like, the right cop... Any other cop would be like, I don't fucking care, whatever. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, do whatever you want. Like, this cop cared about their job and, like, was able to, like, figure it out. Otherwise, I would not be here today. And that's a guarantee. I would have.
I wonder if the dream your whole life was, like, supposed to be warning you.
Yeah.
And it was, like, warning you, warning you, warning you. And then from, like, your higher self or whatever. And then your higher self realized, he's accepting this. I need someone else to talk to him.
Shit.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Oh, my God. You guys are blowing my mind right now.
Your higher self sent that lady to you, and then we're like,
oh, my God.
And then sent the cops.
And then was like, oh, shit. Now he thinks it's not going to happen. And then was like, on that day, being like, remember all this stuff? And you were like, still not getting it. And then the higher self was like, well, I guess I'll go pull some other strings, Oscar.
That's...
Since you're not listening.
Oh.
Yeah. Because I truly was not listening.
Like,
I chose to ignore it, and it would have cost me my life. The true gag of everything, though, is how literal my dream was. Like, it really was
a fucking cliff.
Exactly.
29.
Because dreams are usually, like, symbolic or, like, you know what I mean? Like,
wow.
And I, the older I got, the more I was like, this must be a symbolic thing. I'm falling off
of
a cliff. I'm having a rough time.
Of course.
28 will be a rough year for me. You know what I mean? Like, you know. But it truly was like, no, bitch, you're going to fall off a fucking cliff and it'll be...
For Verizon.
It'll be days before your 29th birthday.
And then your commercial did not air, and so you only got a day rate.
That truly was the saddest
day. This is
day.
Blowing... Oh, my... Mm-hmm. This fucked me up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy
crazy.
Shit.
Yeah. Now, it's so funny because it's something I don't have dream. I don't like.
Yeah.
My dreams are sort of just like dumb, right?
Uh-huh.
But a recurring dream, it's an interesting thing to like question, like, what are they? Like,
yes.
Yeah.
What does it mean to have the exact same dream over and over and over again? And like, for me, like, yeah, it must be some sort of like warning from a...
Yeah.
From something.
From somewhere. I don't know from where. But it, yeah, I don't know. It weirdly feels.
It was not your time.
Yeah.
And that
which brings into another question of like destiny and like, are we destined to do one thing in our lives and then after that we're just disposable?
Well, I don't think it's like one thing. It would be like, you know, when you start moving pieces around, then everything starts fucking up. So.
And how wild of you going through these so many different things of like publishing, maybe a stylist, and then finding like close when you're 28 being like, wait, no, I want to act.
It all happens.
And
so
all of it just like, okay. Like following the timeline of getting you to a literal cliff.
Also, like if you were a dancer, you would have like been retired.
I would have been choreographing. Like that's would have been my
can.
Yeah.
I still can.
And you do.
And I do sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, you're good. You're very good.
Yeah. So like you're doing what you need to do.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh,
that's really crazy.
But
you said there's more stuff?
There's more stuff.
You live in a haunted house, right?
I live in a straight up haunted house. Yes. I've had encounters with spirits in
tell
my house.
I should have remembered that. We should have just recorded there.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we should.
We should, yeah.
It would have messed up all the equipment though.
I have, there's a spirit in my house. I don't know if it's like one or many.
Okay.
But I haven't seen the spirit materialize.
Okay.
So it's only... But it is a presence that I feel, and it's not always at night. There are certain times of day where I feel a heaviness very close to me. And there's that like cliche thing of where I'm in my bed and then I can feel someone sitting on my bed.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And one time I was sleeping, and this is not one of those, what do you call them?
Sleep paralysis,
because I was very much aware and like moving or whatever, where I like woke up, because that happens a lot.
Yeah.
When I just like wake up for no reason. Well, not for no reason. I wake up because I feel a heaviness.
Oh,
but it's not a malicious.
Yeah.
It's not malicious.
Okay.
I don't think it's like an evil entity. I think it's like someone who's like very curious about what's going on with me and my roommates. But one time I wake up and I feel this presence, and then I'm not being crazy here. Someone pulling the sheets from my bed.
No.
Really so scary.
Like slowly pulling the sheets.
And then
I feel it pull and I just yank it back, and they didn't continue doing it or whatever.
Oh, shit.
But I was like, okay. Interesting. What does this mean?
And how long have you lived in that house?
I've lived there for about a year and a half.
Wow.
Yeah. And also, the most haunted, quote unquote, haunted place is, I live in a two-story, very old house. You look at it and you're like, this place is haunted,
yes.
Right? It's like very old house. But the entryway, once you open the house, there's like a door to the left, which is the first floor. And then I live on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
There's a staircase. In that staircase hallway is where it's like the most concentrated presence
ever. Shit.
Yeah. There's like weird smells sometimes that happen.
Yeah.
And that's a big sign of like an entity coming in of just like smells.
What kind of smells?
Like just like bad smells.
Ew,
it smells
just
bad,
stink.
But it's not like because it's dirty or whatever, because the smell goes away.
Yeah.
like that.
Isn't that wild? Like, it happens to me when I'm driving a lot, like just driving through the city, where it is just like all of a sudden you're like, wait, did I just shit my pants or something? Like, this smells so bad, but then it goes away.
Goes
like,
away,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ooh. I didn't shit my pants.
No, I didn't shit my pants.
Good for
I
you.
Would know if I
Betsy,
shit my pants.
Betsy, you did it today.
Betsy, yeah. What a good day.
So proud of you, Betsy.
Thank you. Ooh.
But also, the reason why I'm sure is because Stanley, our landlord who lives downstairs, he collects so much like tchotchkes, antiques, like straight just up dead people things.
I mean, it's like stuff.
It's packed to the I'm sure he's like chilling with them ghosts downstairs, because he is just like swimming in old dead people shit, like straight up. And some of the stuff, and so like it bleeds into the staircase.
Yeah,
and there's just like old shit that you know is haunted.
Yes.
No.
You're like, okay, yeah. So then like, and there's also like a stained glass window in our stake, so everything is like green during the day, and it has this like very eerie vibe to it.
Now,
whoa.
Yeah.
Do you think that you are sensitive?
Yes.
And
I know
it
I am.
Seems like
Yeah. I know I am. I know that I'm like into, everyone says this, which is very annoying, but like everyone's like, I'm a little bit psychic. And psychic is a wrong term to use for me, because I can't like read the future. Well, maybe I can't. I don't know. Maybe
you
I can't.
You literally did.
But I'm very aware of like, I don't know. I just like have, I'm very like susceptible to like energies.
Like
there's something there.
Empathic.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's from, I think it's from just like my bloodline. Like
it
I think
it feels
because,
like with your grandmother.
Yeah, my grandmother's
just,
like straight up just
and
new ghosts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. I feel like you have so many more stories too. Like,
I do.
What's
I have one
great.
More. I have one
yeah,
more like
one
really
more.
Big
yeah,
one.
And
perfect.
Then we'll listen to it one.
So so I shared a room with my younger sister Diana, and in our room we had a rocking chair and
spooky
night,
man
already
spooky.
It's like
already.
Catnip for ghosts
yeah. So bad yeah ghosts love rocking
just
chairs
start batting them
yeah.
around
yeah Ugh. So and it's weird because like we never needed a rocking chair. It was literally my parents were like, we have no space for this,
yeah,
just shove him in
also,
their room.
Did you share like two twin beds or bunk beds?
Bunk beds
are
fun.
Also like fucking scary.
We had bunk beds, yeah. I was on top, she was in the bottom.
That's
I would fall off the bunk bed.
Oh shit!
I've
on
fallen
the
off
daily. Of I like all the time.
I've fallen off of bunk beds.
I mean,
a few times.
It was anyway.
Yeah.
I'm a very restless sleeper too. Apparently.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we never ever ever sat on that rocking chair. We knew that we couldn't do it. And at night, we would see a shadow on that rocking chair. The rocking chair would never move. It was not like. It wasn't quite as cinematic as all that. Like, it would still stay the same, but we were able to see a shadow so detailed that we called this entity Cleopatra because she had a bob.
Oh,
she had a
cute.
Bob haircut.
I love that.
And we were like, yeah, Cleopatra's here. Like we would say we would never be scared of her.
That's great.
And in a weird way, we felt like she was like watching us, protecting us.
So nice.
Yeah, for me, I'm not like scared of ghosts. But yeah, she would visit us all the time. And also the other weird thing too was apparently our mom would say that we would have conversations in our sleep with each other, like in our like we'd be sleeping, but we'd talk to each other
and to
someone else.
Yeah. Now that would be creepy to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
she was
like,
why?
Like, she's like, I don't like.
Also, Mom, get out of here. It's
we're
our
having
room.
A conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, that would happen. I mean, like, I didn't know I was asleep.
Yeah.
I had no idea that Diana and I talked to each other in our sleep. But, like, she's like, you guys talked to each other and you spoke to someone. Someone else.
And both of you would do it. Now that
we would both do it.
That's pretty spooky.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Cleopatra anywhere else?
Nope.
Or always a rocking chair?
Just in that rocking chair.
Oh,
that's it.
My goodness.
Yeah. Wow.
Cleopatra.
Cleopatra.
I like that name
too. I mean, it's a very silly name for we knew perfect. It was a woman too, even though like I don't really there was nothing like that gave me woman vibes except for maybe that Bob.
The Bob.
But, yeah,
it's just like
unless it was some like old timey prince or
a little
whatever.
Like Lord. Yeah.
She had some big old ghost titties.
Yeah.
Some
big old ghost titties.
Double D ectoplasm titties.
Well, do you have time to listen to a ghost story?
Yes, please.
Let me pull one up.
Hey guys, I love the podcast and I've always been firmly on Team Betsy. I believe in the paranormal but never wanted anything to happen to me, but then it did. I live in a small town in southern Illinois and am a teacher, so I'm poor. And I think that's why my dad offered to hire me to do some filing and stuff at his law practice after hours. And I had started and gone in a couple times and everything was fine. It was just sort of boring and quiet being in there by myself at nighttime. And the third day I went in, I was working in a downstairs office that was right off of where the stairs to the second floor came out and right under the library on the second floor. And I had been there for a couple hours working. And I did have some music playing, but as I was sitting there, I realized I had gradually started hearing something else, and I hadn't really noticed it because it had just blended in like background noise, so I hadn't paid attention to it. But then this noise started getting louder and more persistent. So when I stopped to listen, I realized it was footsteps, and they were coming from the library right above me. And they were just these distinct, loud, pacing footsteps. And then they started to move quicker and get even louder. And then they left the library and ran into the hallway upstairs and just started barreling down the stairs, which came out right beside me. And at this point, I mean, I knew no other human was in the building, and I just didn't want any part of what was about to happen. So I just froze and just squeezed my eyes shut. And the footsteps ran off the stairs and into the room I was in. And I immediately, my ears just started ringing and every hair on my body stood up and my skin just felt like it was buzzing. It was just this intense energy in the room. And I just felt it was bad. And it was uncomfortable. I'd never had a feeling like that before. And I could tell it was angry and it wanted me gone. And then that goddamn ghost touched me. It just came, I could sense it was right behind me. And then it pushed me. There was just this gross, heavy pressure on my shoulders and back. And like I said, I could just sense it was just angry. And so that lasted just a little bit, and then just all the energy sort of left the room and everything went back to normal. And I sat there for like 2 seconds frozen and then just ran the fuck out of there and immediately checked out my dad to tell him, you know, there's this angry ghost living in your office. And I told him what had happened, and he was sort of just like, oh no, that's crazy. You know, I've never experienced anything there. But then he went on to tell me a couple months earlier, his secretary had been there by herself really early, like at 5:30 one morning, and every phone in the office started ringing at once. And when she went to go pick up the phone, all the lines went dead, and then all the doors upstairs slammed shut. And then to strengthen my case even more, he told me that before the building had been his law office, it had been a dental practice, and the dentist had his office downstairs, but he lived in the upstairs area, like where the library would be, and he had a massive heart attack and died there, but his body wasn't found for a while. And then on top of that, he told me that his office building, which does share an alley with the old county jail, was literally where the gallows used to be. And I've seen a picture of it, and in that alley, the gallows were literally built up along the wall of my dad's office, and you can see like the library window from the picture I saw. And so, I mean, there's really no telling what kind of residual angry energy is still at that spot. And I told him, I blamed him completely that a ghost touched me and I would never go in there again. And I was totally resolved never to. But then a friend of mine talked me into going in just to see if anything would happen. So we went one night and we're hanging out in a conference room upstairs at the other end of the hall than the library. And nothing was happening. We were just sitting there talking for a little while. And then from right outside the door, something just yelled at us. And once again, like every hair on my body stood up and it sounded human-like, but also sort of like a guttural, angry, echoey scream just right at us. And it was very clear that we were not welcome there. So we ran out, but the worst part was we had to like run right by the library to get out of the building. And after that escape, I had a good run of not going in the office again. But a few years later, my dad had asked me to come and repaint some of the downstairs offices and hallway. So I agreed, but made my terms very clear. I would only go there during the day. And if I felt or heard anything, I would flee. So I had gone a couple times during the day and was almost done. So my dad had just come up to help me finish it. And we ended up being there pretty late and we're painting the hallway right outside of the office where a ghost had touched me. And I started hearing footsteps in the library. And I didn't say anything, but I could see my dad heard it too and was trying to work it out in his head and sort of ration it away. But finally he looked at me and was just like, you know, those are footsteps. You know, how is someone walking around up there? No one else is here but us. I was just like, duh, man, it's the ghost. And the footsteps was all that happened that night, but it was at least a little bit of a validation that my skeptic father had to admit he heard it too. So that's my tale of the haunted office. Thanks, guys.
Dad,
my body reacted so hard during that story.
Yeah, you came hard. And she sent us a picture of the gallows.
Oh, please, I want to see.
Oh, of that's course. So what spooky.
Oh my gosh.
Also,
oh,
okay,
my
so
God.
Many things.
Oh my
One,
God.
That's a really great story.
Incredible. The description of like hearing them, the footsteps coming Jeez. Down this, like, yeah. Jesus. Oh,
it's
shit,
such a good
man.
Story. Oh man, Megan.
She
that was...
actually made contact. Like,
yeah,
that's yeah. a rare thing.
As she was saying it, I just had this like yeah. feeling or like thinking that, like, you know, like when a tornado like sucks all the air out, it's just like there's like this vacuum. Like,
there's that weird, like,
yeah, like that maybe yeah. it felt like maybe that kind of like same vacuum of like energy, but like emotional energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, that really got me.
That
also,
fucked me
I'm
up.
So glad your dad got to experience it.
I yes, am too. I yes. am too.
Because I'm like, this story's got to
like,
have a
I was
redemption.
Pumped that the
yeah.
friend,
oh, thank
the
God.
Friend saw something or yeah. like felt something.
Megan wasn't the only one.
And then, yeah, the dad being like, oh, okay.
Because that's the toughest part too with like encountering stuff like that yeah. is like the solo experience versus the group experience. Because yeah. sometimes a ghost will choose to just like show up for one
yeah.
person.
Yeah.
But this ghost didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, this
it was
ghost
just
is like anybody
I'm
around? Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I'm an old angry dentist and I'm mad.
Wait, his body wasn't found?
For a few days.
That's like, crazy.
That's so crazy.
What was going on with his business?
He wasn't very good at yeah. it.
People were not getting their teeth cleaned.
No.
I'll say that's one of my biggest fears is being like
oh,
dead for days without
that would be
or
so
longer.
Yeah,
it would be really sad. I yeah, that's a horrifying feeling of yeah. like, wait, nobody wanted to see if
would
I was
you
okay.
Rather, would you rather die in public or die alone and not be found for a few days?
Both are pretty
oh
bad.
Oh my God. Yeah. Both are pretty awful.
Because.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I don't
Which is
know.
The best of the two?
Public.
I guess dying
You choose
public.
I think.
No. Same. Oh. Same. I think so.
For a Verizon commercial.
Let the world see.
Yeah.
I want to be on a Fox special. Dead idiots caught on tape.
That was such a good story.
This is a real chilling episode, right?
Yeah, I got my body went through so much. Like, I'm exhausted and hungry now. Yeah. And I like ate a bunch before I came, and now my body's just like,
you can hear your adrenaline spiked.
Yeah.
Oscar, it totally spiked. This is thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I mean, I've been one of my biggest goals was to be on this podcast.
Holy shit. So happy.
Thank you so much.
An episode at your house and try to make content.
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll do a seance.
I'm scared.
Tell everyone where they can find you, your pods, your shows, all the things.
Yeah, you can find me at Ozzymo on social media, O-Z-Z-Y-M-O. That's on Instagram, on Twitter. And then you can find Inside the Disney Vault at Inside the Disney Vault at Instagram and IDTV on, Inside ITDV on Twitter. Woo! And Dem Pods Like on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks so much, Oscar.
That was so good.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for listening to A Funny Feeling.
If you have a paranormal experience that you would like to share, please send us a voice memo, or you can email us just a letter at funnyfeelingpod@gmail.com. I'm Marcy.
I'm Betsy. And don't shit your pants.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.